Looks like somebody prayed.
The afflictions that we currently go through, they're light in comparison to the weight of eternal glory. And just to remind you of what is promised for the believers in Revelations 21:3, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." So we're going to be with God. Man will be with God. God will be with us, and he will be our God, and we will be his people. He says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be with his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye." You know, we experience death in this life, and you know, there's pain associated with death. There's pain, there's heartache, there's sorrow. He says, look, there's going to be a day where all your pain will be taken away. You won't shed a tear anymore, because what you're seeing, amen, is going to far outweigh anything. We're not going to experience such things anymore. This is what's laid up for those who are found in Christ Jesus. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is the eternal hope of glory that we're hoping for. This is what we are aspiring to. So in those moments when you feel like, man, I just can't go on, you look at that and you weigh that in the balance of all time, and you say, my afflictions are light in comparison to the eternal glory of God. He continues in verse 18. He says, "As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And so that word transient just simply means temporal. You know, and so many people put so much trust in temporal, transient things. You know, that they're here today and gone tomorrow. You know, we put trust in our careers, which is here today and gone tomorrow. We put trust in our friends. Think about 20 years from now, 10 years ago. Do you have the same friends that you have now as you do back then, as you did back then? Will you have the same friends 20 years from now? Maybe, maybe not. They're transient, though. They're temporal. Everything in this earth is temporary. Everything in this earth. And so it's transient. It's only for a season. It endures for a little while. So to be eternity-minded is to store up treasures in heaven. To store up treasures in heaven. Now, if you're familiar with the Egyptians, the pharaohs back then, whenever they would get buried, they would have all their possessions buried along with them, right? Because they believed in the afterlife, but they also believed that, you know, they want to sustain the life that they had here on earth. And so they had like food and furniture and pots and vessels and all these amazing things. And they would have them buried with them in these pyramids, hoping to bring that to the other side. And we as believers know that that's quite foolish, right? You can't take your physical possessions with you. In fact, what we're going to gain in Christ, what we're going to gain on the other side, you're going to look at that and like, oh, I don't want that. I got Christ. I have God. We're not going to want the things of this world. Whenever streets are made out of gold, I mean, whenever everything's made out of gold, why would you want to take gold with you? They're transient. But yet, we put so much hope and so much trust in these things. Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Hold on 1 second. I told you I'm struggling here. It says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." So we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Yeah, you know, I used to work at a shipyard, and we would build boats out of steel. And even though it's a very hard material, I mean, very solid material, you know that even steel over time, it'll rust, it'll corrode, and before you know it, you're having to change out parts of the boat because you know the water and the corrosion has got to it to such a degree. Everything that we think is so solid in this world, everything that we think is so meaningful, will rust away. If you don't clean your house, you know what you're going to get? Spiderwebs. Spiderwebs like crazy. You're going to get dust all over the place. Your landscape is going to start overtaking your house. It's all to remind us that this place is transient. This place is temporal. You know, and so nothing on this earth will last except that which is in Christ. We're to store up treasures in heaven. And so how do we do that? How do we store up treasures in heaven? What about acts of kindness, one towards another? Demonstrating the love of Christ, as Jesus commanded us, the two commandments, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength, and then love others as you will love yourself. And so we're going to do acts of kindness. We're going to do acts of righteousness. We're going to serve others. These are so much more important, and we're building up treasures in heaven. So that's an interesting thought. So if you don't do, you know, if we're not doing acts of kindness and we're not doing different things, do we get to heaven and we have nothing? No, but we're storing up treasures. We're going to store up treasures. We're going to be a church that is committed to, you know, demonstrating the love of Christ to others, being the hands and feet to those around us. We're going to lay up treasures in heaven and not focus so much on the temporal things. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." You know, we're like I said, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. You know, what will you do with the time that God has trusted to you? You are to be a steward over that time. And so what will you do with that? We're here but a breath. We're here. But yet, so many people still living just for the moment. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to live for my selfish satisfaction, my selfish gain. What can I gain? Who can I step on to get to the top? We're here but a breath. And then finally, my last point is being eternity-minded seeks to please God. So we have this mindset that we want to seek God because we know one thing, that if we're eternity-minded, that not everyone goes to heaven. You know, I've been to countless funerals, and it's amazing. According to the minister, everyone went to heaven. They're like, oh, they're in a better place. Maybe not. Maybe not. We never considered the fact they might not be in a better place. The Bible talks about there are two destinations. There's a place reserved for the righteous, and there's a place reserved for those who reject Jesus. And they will be eternally separated from God for all of eternity. I want to be eternity-minded. I want to make sure that I make it there. I want to make sure that I'm going to be with the Lord. I don't want to be in the other place. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the other place. I mean, I like the heat and stuff, but I don't like it that hot. Amen? Colossians 3, verse 1 says, "And if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." So one way that we can please the Lord is to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Set our minds higher. And in other stories, in other places, Paul commands us or encourages us to take those thoughts captive. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, if someone is captive, their rights have been taken away, right? They no longer have the freedom to move about the country, if you will. So if someone's arrested, they're taken captive, they're held in this captivity cell, they don't have freedom to roam around like everybody else has freedom to roam around. Their rights have been revoked. So what Paul is saying is, like, to take those thoughts captive is to tell those thoughts, to tell the enemy that you have no right to put those thoughts in my mind. You have no right to roam around in this free space that God has created. You take that thought captive and you bring it into captivity. And you say, that does not define who I am. That is not me. That is not who God created me to be. And so I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus, and I take that thought captive. You know, there's an identity crisis, you know, with our young people. Just the other day, my daughter was telling me that some of her friends believe that they are Therians. And I'm like, what is a Therian? And it's like this person who, I don't know, believes that they are some kind of mystical animal. I'm like, are you serious? Are we at this point where we're at this, have this identity crisis where our young people don't even know who they are? You know? We have to take those thoughts captive that try to misalign our thoughts and misalign our identity and say, no, I am a child of the living God. If you are a man, you're not a woman. If you're a woman, you're not a man. I mean, it's simple as that. The Lord made man and he made woman, and there is no confusion. The enemy is the author of confusion. He is the author of confusion. And so we have to take those thoughts captive. Men, you have to take those thoughts of lust. You have to take them captive. Women, you have to take those thoughts of gossiping and backbiting and hatred. You have to take those thoughts captive and say, you don't have a right to roam around in my mind anymore. I'm a child of God. My old man has been put to death and a new person has risen. You don't have that freedom to rule around my mind. I take you captive in the name of Jesus, the name, the authority. You know, another thing about this captivity, that person in captive is subject to the authority that is above him. All right, so that thought, that mindset that the enemy tries to plant in your mind, you must take it captive by the authority of Jesus Christ. That the authority of Jesus Christ that's living on the inside of you, you take that thought captive because you have the power to do so. And you say, in the name of Jesus, you will not. So he goes on to say in Colossians 3, verse 5, he uses even stronger language. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality. What is that? That is sex outside of God's plan for sex. God's plan for sex is a man and a woman in the covenant relationship of marriage. And so anything outside of that is sexual immorality. He says, put to death those things. Put to death impurity. Put to death evil passions and evil desires. Put to death covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of this, the wrath of God is coming. So if I'm going to be eternity-minded, I'm realizing that it's the God of love. And we like to talk about how God loves us, and he does. But we also must talk about this issue. God is a God of wrath. He's a God of wrath. He's coming back. Whenever Jesus came the first time, he came as a humble servant. He came in the form of a baby. He came in a manger. Whenever he comes back the second time, it's not going to be a pretty sight. The Bible talks about he's going to have fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. His robes can be dipped in blood. It's a terrible sight to behold if you're not found in Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't like to talk about the wrath of God, but it's going to be poured out who are evil and those who do not please the Lord. If you're to be eternity-minded, we've got to live right for Jesus. We got to get right with him. We can't just continue to live the way that we want to live. We can't just continue to do what we want to do. For the wrath of God is coming. Let me just read it for you. Revelations 19, 11 through 16, it says, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, that's crowns, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." It's come back a little bit different than when he came the first time. Amen. And I pray that, you know, for the Bible says this also in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Can I get a little bit more volume in this? Thank you. "Now the words of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality." So he says it again: impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not everybody goes to heaven. Not everybody goes to a better place. It's a lie. But you want to know how to please God. You want to know how to live a life that's pleasing unto God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to and desires. This is what's pleasing. Are you a joyful person? Do you have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you? You have peace and patience, kindness, all these things working in you. This is what pleases the Lord. Just to kind of recap what we talked about thus far. Being eternity-minded is anticipating eternity. Is there an anticipation? Are you making yourself ready? As the Bible says that he's coming back for a bride who has made herself ready. There's a work that the Lord does through the cross, but then there's a work of sanctification through the Holy Spirit, but you have to say yes. You have to walk it out. There's a responsibility on your part as well. He's calling us to holiness. Be eternity-minded is anticipating eternity. Being eternity-minded stores up treasures in heaven. Where's your important thing to you? Are you storing up treasures in heaven? And then finally, eternity-minded seeks to please God. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? We come before you, humbly come before you, oh Lord, almighty God, oh sovereign King. And Lord, for those who are in this room under the sound of my voice who are not right with you, oh God, who do not know if eternity will be with you or will be elsewhere, I pray for them. I pray that by the power of your Spirit, Lord, you would draw them to repentance. I pray, oh God, that you would tug on their hearts so strongly this morning that they would choose, Lord, to get right with you, that they would declare you as Lord of their life, and that you will begin to direct their steps. Just as, Lord, you said last week, you said, come, follow me. Lord, the call is here this morning. Come and follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow Jesus. He's calling after you. He's longing for you. He loves you with an unconditional love. And you don't have to endure the wrath of God. That's the good news. the wrath of God is coming, but you don't have to be a participant of the wrath of God, for he has made a way through his son Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, because of what he did, his sacrifice appeases the wrath of God on your behalf, so that whenever our Father, our Heavenly Father, looks at you, he no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees your shame, but he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees the blood of Christ over your life. If you don't have the blood over your life, you need to repent and come to the Lord. Living selfishly, you need to repent and come to Jesus. Lord, today, we are challenged to be eternity-minded, to not live for instant gratification, to not live only for the moment, but to live for eternity with us through your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, have your way in this place today. Save us, those who need saving. Encourage us, those who need encouraging. Lord, as those believers who may be struggling with their faith, Lord, that we can be as Paul, Lord, and we can say that we will not lose heart. We will not lose heart. We will keep believing. We will keep trusting, because the weight of eternal glory far outweighs any affliction that we may endure in this life. So we set our focus to Jesus. We set our focus on him, and we look and we behold the eternal weight of glory, and our affliction is nothing in comparison. So for Lord, for those who are dealing with that this morning, that you will encourage them, Lord, by your word, that you will encourage them by your spirit. Have your way in this place. So have your way in this place. Whatever prayer that you need to pray this morning, pray it now. If you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, do it now. Today is the day of salvation. You need to ask the Lord to renew your strength, to restore your focus, to maybe you've been focused on the wrong things, accumulating more stuff. Lord, this morning, God, we just lay it all before you. We thank you that you are God who loves us with an unconditional love. Lord, you are merciful. Each and every day, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. God, we just thank you. We just give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Continue to have your way in this place. Continue to have your way in our lives, where this wouldn't be just a message we hear this morning, but it's a message that we walk out for the rest of our lives. Tomorrow, when we wake up, God, Tuesday, when we wake up, Wednesday, when we wake up, we choose to follow you. We say we will not lose heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe that you are moving in this place. We believe that you are speaking. Lord, be with your people, Lord, as we dismiss. Be with us. Be with us, Lord, each and every day, Lord God, this week. And help us to be eternity-minded. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys.